Donna. Okay, so let's start with this. What's your name?
Cutie.
Where are you going? Who are you going with?
Me, Ali.
Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it. I got to get it. I left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it. I got to get it.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. There you go. Little twist with a new music at Drive Through HR. Well, Brian Lumban, Lowen Pinkelp, and Nita coming to you live every day talking about human resources. And this day, we are pretty much excited because Drive Through HR is broadcasting live from Louisiana Shrimp Conference 2013. So if you want to follow, please follow the hashtag LASHRM13. So there you go. You have all the updates out there. So, William, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I think Dwayne Lay did a fantastic job this morning in the opening keynote. Nisha, the opening keynotes of almost any conference is about optimism and hope and painting a picture that is filled with the next two or three days that we're going to be here together, we're going to learn, we're going to share, we're going to get better, and it's all about optimism. And so I think he did a fantastic session, a keynote, and, with his new book, Lean HR, I think he's just, he's a really compelling person from the stage. He's got a great stage presence, which I think you need in all keynotes. I think your keynotes in concurrence and workshops and pre-conference, you can have all kinds, stylistically, you can have everybody. Anybody can do one of those sessions. But keynotes, in my humble opinion, I think you have to have a really, really compelling stage presence because the audience has to be with you. They have to, in some ways, they have to love you. They have to be inspired. They have to be, entertained and educated and all that stuff. So I think he did a fantastic job, and I think we're going to see a lot of that to come with Dwayne and his career. And then we kind of broke from that. And Brian, the reason Brian's not on the call today is Brian and Kat are doing a session that I didn't get to go to, but you did for a little while. I want to hear a little bit about it, where they're getting people to think creatively about building kind of a business case and a business plan. So, Louisiana Sherm is my third year to be at Louisiana Sherm, Lafayette, New Orleans, and now in Baton Rouge. It's just a fantastic show. It's a great HR community here in Louisiana. What's been your take so far?
Yeah, so far, I reached yesterday here. I got here yesterday night, and then I've been in the pre-conference, social networking event, the convention center, and I met a lot of people like, Deg Show, Robin Schooling. I'm meeting her in real life for the first time. Can you imagine that? So I was like pretty excited to meeting all those people in real life, and I met Laurie Rudiman today just before the show. And after that, about the show, we have our keynote session. It's pretty good. Dwayne Lay has really nailed, getting the audience in hand and then making that humor and then making them really involved with the conversation, that building blocks of, work culture. He said about norms, values, simple technology and language are the building blocks of your culture. So it's really interesting that audience are really involving with him and really responding to his questions and to his humor. And then I really loved that kickoff session. And after that, I went to Brian and Kat's session, and they were like interactive session with the audience. Like they had around 8 groups. They divided the entire group into a group of people into 8 different groups, and then put them on spot for creating a strategy for their business and getting to know their team members, what are the skill set that they have among them, and then really trying to figure out how can they use that particular skill set of individual person and to create a business goal that is really, upcoming, and then really targeting the audience and really targeting what we need in this HR community. And they did a good job.
Nice. Hey, I should mention something, Nisha. Our guest, Mike Grenier, I haven't heard from him, and he might call in at any minute, and so we'll pivot if that happens. But from time to time, guests, you know, we book these things about 6 months in advance, and from time to time, either they forget or we forget to remind them. There's no blame on any of that. But he hasn't called in yet, so we're going to continue to talk about the conference and also something that we were discussing when we walked over from the conference center about your online persona and then your offline persona and kind of some of that disruption that happens between the two. If, you know, like any show where a guest hasn't called in, if you'd like to call in, we would love to have you. The number is 347-996-5600, and then just hit number one to talk to Misha and I. The idea that you have this social persona, and all of a sudden then you meet that person for the first time in real life, IRL, right? So it's always kind of an awkward moment. It's been my experience at least, but then again, I'm very awkward, that the first time you meet someone, so you've been following them, you've been reading them, you've been sharing their content, they've been sharing your content, you watch videos of them, and in some cases you might know their husband or wife or kids or seen photos of them on Facebook. And so there's this weird, like I know the person, and then all of a sudden you meet them for the first time, and then it's like you know all this stuff about them, but you don't really know them. You've never really shook their hand. You've never looked in their eyes. You've never been in the same room with them. Misha, you've gotten to meet a couple people for the first time. What's been your experience with that so far in meeting some of these people that you have had interactions with?
Well, that's really interesting because we talked about this in our walk back from our conference center to our meeting place. So, you know, I met a lot of people in real life for the first time yesterday and today, and I know there are a lot of people out there that I'm yet to meet. So I've been following them on Twitter, and they're all over social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, everywhere. And then whenever there are updates, anything is there, I'm commenting them, building a real relationship offline and online as well. But at the same time, you know, as you said, I feel that this person really know me in a way that what I am, you know, by talking with them over the phone or through the messages offline, and then when they reply back. So we really think that I know this person in and out. So that's how I feel. But then when we meet them in real life, in person, face-to-face, you know, like there's an awkward moment. You know, it's a positive moment, though, but I'm not saying anything negatively. But still, there's an awkward moment inside of me saying that, oh, there's a gap between that person and me. I don't know what is that gap. You know, I don't know if you can really able to understand that, but from my end, I feel that little gap. I'm really trying to figure out what is that gap called or what is that gap means. Is it that something that we both have to do, or is it that my awkward feeling? What do you think, Billion?
Well, I think, you know, the thing is, if there's a big gap between your online brand, if you will, and your offline brand, let's say you're, you know, a really outrageous person online. You know, you're really witty and sarcastic and funny and kind of gregarious and just kind of outlandish online. And all of a sudden people meet you in person in real life and you're not that person. So in that sense, I think that you have to manage what I call the brand drop-off, where, you know, you set an expectation here and then you fulfill on that expectation here and there's a cliff between the two. I don't subscribe to that model. Personally, just William Timken speaking, I don't subscribe to that at all. I think that it is close to the same, you know, as you can navigate towards wherever the hell you are online is exactly or real close to the person that they should meet if they ever meet you in person. So that's me, and that's kind of how I go about it. What about yourself? What is your take on kind of that cliff?
Yeah, that's really true. And, you know, we everybody are talking about building a personal brand because on social media, we know what that person means or what does he stand for and all. But then on a personal front, do you think that people consider a little more personal when they interact with our social media over, you know, real time? Because there is an expectation that builds up in one person's mind, you know, when they interact with somebody, they feel like they know each other, but then they have some expectation that this person will interact this way by considering their interaction between on social media. I think so. It may be that kind of an expectation level gap or missing that expectation mark. I think so. That's what's happening, I think so.
Well, you know, I think the first time you meet somebody, and this goes for everybody, you may listen to the call, if you follow anybody online, you know, in LinkedIn, you know, you will read their blog, et cetera, and you meet them for the first time, my best strategy is that you acknowledge that. Like, I don't ever want to be that dude that big times people on any level. I would just like, because we're all fans, we're all students of the game, and so we should just acknowledge that. Like, when you first meet somebody, it's like, you know, I've been reading your stuff forever. You know, great content, you know, fantastic. Like, just talk about it. Like, I acknowledge that you've been doing really cool stuff, and I've been checking it out, and I like it. And then you can kind of get past the awkwardness by just getting through some of that content. And it doesn't matter if the person reciprocates insofar as like, oh, and I've been reading your stuff too. That just stuff doesn't matter. If you've been consuming their content through Instagram or Pinterest or whatever, you acknowledge it. Like, just kind of come to it and say, hey, you know what, I like your stuff. It's fantastic. You do great work. Well, that one article that you wrote, you know, for so-and-so, I really liked it, or I didn't like it. You know, whatever the truth is, like, just admit it. And I think that's where sometimes we get into trouble is, like, we don't want to be honest with somebody. Like, I've been following your stuff, and I really like it, because it's like that might put us into the creepy area or the stalker area, and I don't believe that. I think as much as you can be honest about the fact that, hey, this is going to be awkward for the first couple of minutes, and then we're going to get past the awkward, and you know what, we might have a relationship on the other side of that. What's your take?
Yeah, that's really true. It's actually, you know, get the conversation going when you meet a person in real life. As you said, you know what the content they are writing. You might have already read it. You might have already commented on their blog or their Facebook or retweeted and then shared your comments. But then still, when you are interacting with somebody in real life, it's really a good take that William has thought out right now. To, you know, get that conversation going by targeting any of their concepts or any of their individual aspects that they write about. Then they are sharing a lot of personal stories throughout their blog, because every blogger and every speaker, they are real storytellers. So that's what I really target. You know, when I meet somebody, I know this person has wrote about their life in their blog and in their Facebook. So I'm like so excited to talk to them about, you know, when I met Sarah Williams. I asked her about her family, and when I met Mike Haberman. Yesterday, we had a great conversation with the topic that he's going to discuss today about using some tools and technologies that can be used to for the HR, for building a HR. So it's actually a real conversation that if you're going to do with the person that you are interacting, and from there on, I think we can take it from there, right?
Yeah, my best conversations in real life tend to be somewhere where it starts with a personal conversation with somebody that I've met, and either I agree or disagree with something that I've written or posted or done, and it's just them and I. So it's not a public forum. You're not doing it online. It's just you and that person. It's like, hey, you know, you wrote an article the other day that did this, and it really tweaked me because I didn't comment on it, and I didn't want to make a big deal about it, but I didn't really like the way you did that. And then that dialogue, that going back and forth of, well, here's the reason, here's where that came from, this is why I was saying what I was saying, and then now I can see your response, but you know what, the greater good is over here. Like, that's what, for me, that's when, over the last 2 years, that's been the majority of learning has happened in those types of private moment conversations. And then it makes the online experience that much better. So I think that, you know, it's like the old-fashioned networking model of media. You know, you got to shake hands with everybody, get their business cards and all that stuff. I think those days are done. And I think also anyone that thinks that you can do everything online, I think is also equally flawed. I think it's a mixture of online and, you know, you know, you can't be so dependent on online that you have nothing but online relationships, because I think that those are, they're fast, but I don't think they're deep. And so let me ask you a question about, because you're doing social media for the conference, Nisha. You've got an area where practitioners can walk up, anybody can walk up and ask you questions. What type of questions did you expect to be answering kind of coming into this? What was your expectation for like the battery of questions that might come? And what have you heard so far? What are the types of questions that you've gotten so far?
Well, thanks, William, for bringing that up. Well, actually, I'm so honored and excited to work with Luciana Shrem 2013 social media team. And we have a social media street, a great concept that to involve our attendees to really learn about how to use social media. So it's a great moment that for me, because, you know, when we interact with attendees, they're like, they are so honest. They ask silly questions. It might be for silly for people who are using social media for a while, and then probably for the experts in social media. But for them, it's like really trying to figure out how this stuff can be worked to, in order to connect with others, or in order to build a relationship, or to use it in their day-to-day job and then, you know, explore it. So one of the few questions were, you know, what is this hashtag? You know, how do we follow hashtags? I've been listening to, because this lady says, I've been listening to people, and they say that follow this hashtag. So I really didn't know how to follow hashtags. So that's what one real moment for me. Another thing is Hootsuite and TweetDeck. Can you use that on mobile? Because these people, they're really trying to cover the conference and then retweet and then follow the hashtag, or, you know, check out the live tweets. So they're pretty much excited, and they have a lot of questions, and they are really interacting with us and then coming forward and asking, hey, can we do this? Can we do that? So what do you think? Can we use TweetDeck on mobile? I think William's call
has. Oh, yeah. You know, what's funny, Nisha, is as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about, we don't realize, if you're listening to this show, you're an early adopter. You might not perceive that of yourself. But we're all students of the game. This game of social media and social HR and all that stuff, we're so at the very beginning stages of all this, we don't recognize how much we know in comparison to our brother, to everyone else that's out there. And so I think, you know, it's both humbling and in some ways rewarding. For those of you that are going to Sherm Annual or even at some of your own state conferences, spend some time with people that don't actually know a fraction of what you know about Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or whatever, and you'll be amazed at the questions. And I think the thing is we have an opportunity to be humble and teach people. And I think that the thing is like there's that moment where they're vulnerable and we could make fun of them, which is a fail, or we could just embrace them and say, hey, let me tell you, you know, like I normally get the, you know, I Twitter. I don't understand. I see all these things. I tried it. I hated it. Don't do it. Don't understand. And instead of me beating the hell out of them, which would, you know, be a natural response for me, I tend to kind of hit the brake and go, you know what? I had the exact same response. First time I logged in, 2007 or whatever it was, didn't understand it, didn't like it, didn't go back for a year. Totally get it. Here's how I've interacted with it. And I think in telling your own story and kind of getting them to understand that, hey, if you get into anything, you automatically get it, there's something wrong. You should be critical about all this stuff. And I think what's fun about conferences like this, Nisha, is that we have an opportunity to interact with people that don't know the same things that we know.
Yeah, this is actually, as you said, that was actually a humble moment for me, because I am a person who has been using social media. It's all about, you know, an experience for me. It's all about trying to figure out how this stuff works or what will work for me or what won't work for me. So it's all about going ahead and then experience it or doing a lot of experiments, let's just say that. So I talked this with a lady. She's an HR recruiting technology marketer. So she was talking about this because there are a lot of recruiting technologies available, a lot of ATS and a lot of technologies available. But then still, there were a lot of recruiters, they were going through an old-school model, but at the same time, their company, they buy these new recruiting technologies. But there's a point that, you know, that transition period, that they need a support in terms of helping them figure out how this stuff can be worked for their day-to-day business. So if that gap is there, people are not going to use that so far. So if the same thing happens with social media also, when you start working on it, you know, you need to really understand, okay, what is available? Just try to experiment all those stuff. If it is happening some mistakes, let it be. So that's how we learn. That's how I also learned. Nobody actually told me, you know, you have to use Hootsuite or you have to tweet like this, you have to use hashtags. It's all kind of observing people, how they do it, and then following them, and then really understand how others are interacting. So observing is actually a real aspect in this in order to learn from others. So that's how I consider other people to, you know, do this in a fashion that makes easier for them.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is, my favorite comment at a conference and when people are just kind of interacting with me is like, hey, man, how do you do this? Like they recognize that you know, because that's how I do. Like when I'm at a conference and I don't know how to use certain filters on Instagram or whatever, I'll just ask somebody, like, man, I like the stuff you're doing. How do you do that? Like, And I think that you get past the fact that, you recognize that they know how to do something, and I think that that's, you know, the way to go about things is, hey, I recognize that you've got game, and I appreciate that. I was wondering if you could help me raise my game and teach me certain things. And most people, not everybody, most people will do it. Most people are like, oh, hell, Pinterest, let me show you how to do this. And they'll show you. And I think that's how we all get smarter on that side. A couple of things on the conference real quick. The hashtag, as Nisha said at the beginning, is Louisiana SHRM 13. So L-A, SHRM, the numbers 1 and 3. Follow for the next 3 days. A lot of great learning. Robin Schooley has put together a fantastic slate of speakers and social media personalities. Everybody's here. So the Bill Bormans and Jennifer McClure's, Lori Rudiman and Dwayne Lay, and I'm going to miss a ton of people, but the point is there's a bunch of really smart people that we all know and love, and a lot of them are here, not everybody, but a lot of them are here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, so you'll be able to see some really cool tweets and some good learning. Something else that happens at conferences is that they have people tweeting from every session, and there's some great nuggets that come out of those sessions. Great nuggets for those of you that blog. There's great content there that you can respond to, and it also gets your mind thinking about other articles, etc. So just something to follow. You know, at a great conference, if you're ever organizing a great conference, the strategy is to make people pissed at you. And so it's counterintuitive because you think that, no, I want everybody to be happy. And really you don't. When you're organizing a conference, you want to have so many good speakers that they can't see it all. And thusly, the feedback is, I'm pissed because I couldn't see every session that I wanted to. And that's the feedback you want to get. If you ever get a slate of characters and it's really easy to make decisions, like, okay, I avoid those, like, yeah, that guy, I want to go that, yeah, those are the conferences that don't work. You actually want conflict. So if you're ever in the position of organizing or orchestrating a conference, you want people to be mad at you at the end. I mean, they're not really, it's a false mad. They're not really mad at you, but they're mad because they couldn't see everything. That's one of the things I would point you in the direction of. And the other thing is I get asked, because of what I do for a living, I get asked about vendors a lot. And what I would tell you about a conference like this is the vendors that care about you are the ones at your conference. They care so much that they're spending marketing dollars and advertising dollars and sponsorship dollars to be where you're at. And in some ways, they're telling you a story. hey, we care so much about, in this case, Louisiana Sherm, we're going to spend, you know, a couple of $1,000s to be there in the place where you're at. And those vendors that don't do it, they're also sending you a message that we don't care about your association, and we don't care about what you've got going on, and we're not coming to where you're at, but yet we still want you to buy stuff. So one of the things I would tell you is that as you shop, and the HR budget is a huge budget, and you got a lot of buying authority over a lot of different types of things, when you do that, take a look at your local conferences, take a look at the national conferences, and the people that actually spend money there. You should start in building your short list with the people that spend money where you're at, out of just respect for what they're doing, and they're giving you the respect, your association with the respect, et cetera. Nisha, we got about 4 minutes left. I want to ask you, you know, out of all the things, this is, you know, as I understand it, this is your first kind of, you know, big Sherm show. You're going to do several of these this year. What do you want to achieve when you're driving back Tuesday, Wednesday, et cetera? What is the one thing that you want to achieve at a conference like this?
Well, being an HR person, and as I am a social media person and a co-host that drives through HR, one of the main targets for me is to interact with the people in real life and building a real relationship. You know, I've been following people all over social media, connecting with them, building an offline relationship, an online relationship, but this is the real time for me to, you know, have that moment, shake the hand, and get their insights face to face, and really building that personal connection. And other than that, you know, the conferences, these entire session, I really want to go to all of the session, but then it's happening at different times. And then, as part of social media team, one of my main objectives is to cover the sessions on social media. So follow the hashtag LASHRM13. So we're gonna broadcast all the live, broadcast all the insights through live tweets, so you can follow them. So that is one of my objectives, to learn what are the new things that I'm missing. So learn from them. So this is the real opportunity for me to really sit and learn, and then you know, shake my head and get insights, and then really try to bring new aspects that I'm gonna do on my blog. And I'm going to go ahead and do some video interviews that you can watch at my blog. So I'm going to do that. I'm not saying who is going to come. And also, there are a lot of people in my mind. So that is also there in my target, William.
Nice. You know, that's the last bit of advice. I think whenever you attend a conference and you're planning, you're trying to maximize your travel and training and basically the expense of the conference, one of the things I would advise you is, out of all the people that are going, looking on LinkedIn, looking on Facebook, reaching out to people, and setting meetings with people that you want to have 15 minutes with. I think it's really important to reach out, know that who's going to be there, reach out to them in advance, and schedule time, and just say, hey, I want to carve out some time and really kind of get to know what you're doing in 2013. And I think that's how you can maximize the other side of the learning part of these types of events. So, fantastic call today. Louisiana Sherm, please follow the hashtag. Y'all, we're going to roll out, and all props to Robin Schooling putting together a wonderful Louisiana Sherm, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.
Rumors spreading around. And that's Texas town. About to check outside the games. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that home out on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.